Welcome back, everyone. This is Parenting Unplugged, and I am Alisa.
And I'm Monica.
And welcome back, everyone. And in today's episode, this is actually our third episode of our Newborn Trenches series. Sadly enough, the third and last one of our newborn stage, I guess early beginning stage, really. And in this episode, we're going to be covering a lot of different things, such as sleep survival tips, feeding hacks, whether you are breastfeeding or formula feeding, baby wearing, leaving the house with a newborn, which is a huge topic, and then any self-care tips as well that we can also recommend for you guys, during this really important time.
Lots of things to cover for our third and last part of this really interesting chapter of motherhood, of parenthood. Alisa, let's jump into the straight one. I mean, let's talk about sleep survival tips. I mean, this is obviously, I think, maybe one of the biggest ones that we go through as a new mum, as a seasoned mum, because really functioning off no sleep, as we all know, mums out there, is really hard work. And you really kind of get into a space where you don't know if you're going to survive. Like, and there's been studies shown about what happens to you when you have that sleep deprivation. And it's crazy that, depending on obviously what help and care you've got around you, but for example, if you're breastfeeding, you have to feed on demand, right? And that's crazy because you really are pushing your body to such extreme limits, especially with the sleep deprivation. I mean, how did you do it, Elisa?
Yeah, I mean, being sleep deprived is really hard, and it's really exhausting because it truly is. It's truly exhausting being sleep deprived, not being able to sleep, and then having to feed your baby around the clock, having to figure that out. And I think that for me in general, I think sleep survival, I think I may have mentioned this in the previous episode, was being able to take mini naps. So taking a mini nap whenever I could, I think that that is what helped me kind of survive the first days of like the cloudiness. And also trying to take some time for myself as well. So as hard as it is, just trying to take like a long bath, relaxing whenever you have that moment to yourself. And obviously using like your village, using your partner and reaching out to them for help because you absolutely cannot do it yourself.
Yeah,
What
absolutely.
was, yeah, what was that like, Monica, being sleep deprived for you?
I mean, I've never experienced anything like it. I was like, because my, like George, my husband, he was so hands-on as well. So we were both sleep deprived. And let's face it, in this, new generation that we're in now, I like to think that both mum and dad or both partners, they do, we both make the effort, right? And I was blessed to be in that situation, and I know you was too, Elisa, to have like a really supportive partner. But it doesn't matter, even if it's like one or two of you still sleep deprived. Like,
You're both
it
sleep
depends,
deprived.
both sleep deprived. Like, there is no feeling like it. Like, you are literally, like, the tank is just on zero. Like, you just don't know how you're functioning. I would say that the word to describe that period of time would be a zombie. Like, I honestly felt like a zombie. I don't know how I did it. There was like tips and tricks along the way that I found useful. I did find that the more stuff, the more things that I needed to take me through the night, if that was like pumps or nipple shields or bottle warmers or whatever it is I needed, I tried to have everything in the bedroom. because I quickly realized that I was living in the bedroom. I couldn't really move from the bedroom like that. If I made it down to the lounge, that was like a breakthrough. That felt like a holiday. And then it was like back to the bedroom again. So there was like little tips that I found along the way, and I definitely feel like as if you can keep as much as possible in the bedroom, and then you've got like close proximity to everything, that's great. How I sleep, like dealt with the sleep deprivation, I think I mentioned in the last episode, like I find it really hard to just take naps. I've always wished that I was one of those people that could just take a nap, but I have to like had a shower. I need to like get into like clean pajamas, and like I need to have like a cup of tea, and it's like a whole process for me to wind down to go to sleep. And obviously by the time I've done all of that, that break window is up, and
It's
now I
over.
need
It's
to feed
over.
again.
It's
It's
time to go.
done. It's done. So unfortunately I couldn't really access like that, what you did, Lisa, like with the naps. But I would say that when I felt comfortable, I do like having a bath. When I said to George, like I'm going to take a bath, and he obviously knew that that was my way of switching off. And so I took like that 20 minutes to have a bath, and that just like when you have a bath, you just you feel like a new woman afterwards. You it's it that is my form of having a nap at that time.
For sure.
But the sleep survival, I think it's just one of those things where it's going to happen. I think for most mums out there, I think you just have to go through this period of time. The sleep deprivation, everything that comes with it, feeling like a zombie, because it's not going to be for long. It's very short-lived in the greater scheme of things. And you will get through it. You don't feel like you're going to get through it at the time. It's
No, I feel
really
like there's no end.
bad.
You feel like there's no end. And like I think one thing that we forgot to mention too, and I think something that another mother, when Kami was really little, had mentioned to me was using like contact naps to your advantage. So like sometimes the baby doesn't want to sleep, but the baby's fussy. And obviously, you know that the baby wants to fall asleep, but they can't do it. And the only way for them to do it is to fall asleep on top of you. And yes, unfortunately, you're tied to the baby and like there's nothing you can do about it. But sometimes you gotta let it go. You have to let go of the control and give in to that contact nap and at least use that for like just like a time for you to relax, for you to like decompress. Doom scroll if you need to, read a book, just something, you know. So like those contact naps, I remember of course you want to put the baby down. You want to be able to put the baby down in the crib and walk away. But sometimes realistically, it doesn't happen. A lot of the times it doesn't happen. So let the baby sleep on top of you and use that time to just like relax, you know, just
Which is hard, right? Because you're always thinking about what you need to do for your baby.
It is a lot, but it's like, you know, with babies, especially like in the first year, there's like a lot of research behind like the wake windows, how long they should be awake for and when they should be sleeping and la la la. So that stuff I think is sometimes it's really good to look at as like a kind of like a I don't know, like an idea as to like how the day should look like if you're like an organized person and if you want to have some kind of routine. I think it's fine, but I think that realistically, a lot of the times, like the wake windows don't really happen. So like the baby might not be awake for like 2 to 3 hours and then go to sleep for, you know, at this time. Like it doesn't work out perfectly that way because babies are not robots. So like sometimes I would look at the wake windows and I would be like, oh, okay, Gami needs to be, you know, awake for this time and she needs to go to sleep in 3 hours. If not, she's gonna be fussy. And I used to really like take them like very seriously. And that was also a huge like part of why I was stressed all the time. So I think that if there is a mother out there that's listening, that's stressed out about like the wake windows and the baby possibly not sleeping when they're supposed to be sleeping, I think just follow the baby's cues. And yes, use that as like a guide And if you want to like know what time maybe they should be going to bed, I think that that is a good way to gauge it. Like what time is it, what their wake windows are. But don't stress yourself out over the wake windows, because the baby is, you'll see when the baby also is tired and when it's time for them to go to bed. So like,
Yeah.
and when the time comes, if they're tired, if they don't want to go to bed, which it used to happen with Kami all the time, if it needs to be a contact nap or if it needs to be a nap that's completely skipped, then skip it.
Yeah. And also, it's like we are focusing right now on what we call the newborn trenches, right? Which is, we're looking at the first 3 months. And the first 3 months, there is no routine, there is no schedule. And so there is a lot of these, there's a lot of apps and there's a lot of things out there that can guide you with the wake windows. And a very good friend of mine, she has a 7-month-old baby, and she uses these apps and they work like clockwork for her.
They work, okay.
But for the first 3 months, I don't think it's going to work in the first 3 months. It's only later on when you've established more of a routine, when you've come out of these trenches, like maybe month like 4 or 5, you can be like, okay, like let me look at these wake windows now that I've got a bit more sleep behind me, and maybe like I've got more of a routine. Then I think it's a really good transition to use that to your advantage. But the first 3 months is literally survival mode. Like if the
You're
baby
surviving.
wants to sleep,
It's not
if he wants
consistent.
to sleep on you, great. If he, I mean, with Noah, he never could sleep in his like the next to me bed. Never. Not one nap. He was either on me or on George. So you can imagine how tired we were. Like I loved it. Of course, it's lovely. You've got your newborn baby on you. It's amazing. And it's the best feeling in the entire world. But at the same time, you are completely zeroed out. Because what time do you have? Like if Noah's sleeping on George, I'm preparing everything we need for when he wakes up in 20 minutes. And when Noah's sleeping on me, George is preparing it. So it's like, we don't truly have that break. So it's kind of like a bittersweet kind of situation with that,
For sure. It's around the clock. It's around the clock with that. And then with the feeding as well, with the feeding, whether you're pumping or formula feeding, either you're prepping the bottles or you're burping the baby, you're figuring out how to burp the baby because one way might not work. So you have to like see what else is going to work so the baby's not gassy anymore. So I think that like, I don't know, with us, we had a situation with Gami when she was, like about a month old, that she got like really gassy, and the pediatrician told us that I had to stop feeding her really often. I think it was like every 5 or 10 minutes, I had to take her off the boob, burp her, and continue feeding her. Do you know how long it took me
Yeah,
to feed
that's a
her?
lot.
Because so what was happening is that I was still my breast milk was like it was like establishing, it was like regulating. So at first I was still like bringing in too much. So I think that it was too much for her. I think that that maybe like it was like too much that was going on for her, like too much milk for her at the moment. So I think that I had to like, that's what the pediatrician told me, to stop and burp her and continue and continue and stop and burp and continue. So, I think that you're going to be figuring it out as you go. It's kind of hard for us to say like, this is what's going to work for you, because all babies are different. Like, not you. The next person might not have to deal with like gas issues and might not have to go through that. So I think that like the only way to really know what to do is to kind of go through it, go through like the aches and pains yourself, and figure it out. And but I think that like for me, as far as like hacks, I was feeding Gami directly from the breast. And I think that the hack for me was just like seeking help, because I didn't know what I was doing. And I was sleep deprived, like we mentioned, and I was exhausted and just like upset at my partner for, whatever reason. And you know, it's just I just needed like a professional in the house to tell me like everything is fine, you're doing everything fine, like keep it up. And that it was what really what worked for me. I know that you, Monica, went through breastfeeding in the early months. How did you make that work for you?
I mean, the breastfeeding I did when Noah was sleeping. I mean, when I say sleeping, I would maybe say like 10, 15 minutes here and there. And when he wasn't on the boob, I was trying to express. But unfortunately for me, and I know some other mums out there that's the same, is I just couldn't express. Like nothing was coming out when I was expressing. Like when he was feeding on me, he was fine. But as I said in like some previous episodes, he had like an undetected tongue tie, which didn't help with my like establishing my milk supply long term. I think a lot of it came in to start with. But obviously the tongue tie provided issues, and I didn't find out about nipple shields until maybe, I want to say maybe month two, when my friend recommended them to me. And that was like a complete game changer, but maybe it wasn't quick enough. It's like, in the future, if I was to have more children, I would get those on hand, like, and have, but then knowledge is power, right? As a first time mom, you don't necessarily have that knowledge to hand. But one thing I did want to highlight in this kind of feeding subtopic is, Noah, what we found is I had to stop breastfeeding around 3.5, 4 months ish because my milk supply just kind of slowed down, and I didn't want to give him the tongue tie procedure. So, because it wasn't that severe, it was he only had a very slight tongue tie. So we decided we had to make the really difficult decision to stop breastfeeding, and just give it to him for comfort. And when we stopped doing that, we noticed like he kept vomiting, and he kept like his poo was basically like just full of mucus, right? So obviously that is terrifying as a mum, and he kept dropping weight. And as such a young baby, that is terrifying for a mum. So the sleep deprivation was now sort of being replaced with this kind of fear and anxiety that both me and George shared, because we didn't know why he was dropping so much weight and why he kept throwing it up. But one thing I do want to say to any mums that are listening that are having similar problems is the formula, and I didn't know this at the time, is we had to change to hypoallergenic formula.
Yeah, I was
And
going
at the time, I
to
didn't know what that
ask.
was, right? So my baby was throwing up, or he was, his poo obviously was just rejecting all of the milk that was going in, and he was dropping weight, and we were just beside ourselves. We were at the hospital like once a week trying to check with the pediatricians, and none of them recommended this hypoallergenic formula until he was like three, like close on 4 months.
That's wild.
And yeah, that's wild, right? So what I would say now that I know, and we all have these little nuggets of information now, is you need to check if they are having like an adverse effect to what you're giving them, because I could have like stopped all of that, so that's definitely something I would say, because if I knew now, obviously I would try all the things and it would be different. But like you were saying, Elisa, like every baby is different. So you just never know,
No, yeah, you don't know. And I feel like that with babies, especially in that first year, everything is trial and error. You're trying different formulas. You're trying, like, I got me had like sensitive skin. I had to try like different body washes on her. I had to try different creams because she had like that would like, and it still flares up. So I had to like try all different things and, see what was going to work best for her. And you just eventually you figure it out, but you just kind of have to just like roll with it and just like have faith that you will find the way, that you will find what's going to work best for you and your family. But I think that
Definitely.
eating topic is like a real stressor to many people, whether you're formula feeding or you're breastfeeding. I feel like it's like one of the main issue, one of the main issues, you know, in that first couple of months, because you obviously want the baby to like grow in a healthy way and to not have, like you said, any poop issues or, and you know, and to not have any like digestive issues. So it's just like, you know, you're trying to find your way with that. And that's really hard to do. Obviously, you don't know, the baby's not, can't talk, so you don't know what it is that's happening. So that's a huge part of like why like, you know, you're not sleeping well too. Like you, even when you try to fall asleep, you're just like thinking about like, oh
Of
God,
course,
what is it? What is it? Why is she not sleeping well? Like, oh, does she have a upset stomach or, you know, what's happening? It's just like everything is like such a worry.
I
So
couldn't even sleep because I was always checking he was breathing. Like
yeah.
every 5 minutes. And George would be like, look, he's finally sleeping in the next to me for like 10 minutes. Just shut your eyes.
Yeah,
And I
just
used to
leave.
literally just put my hand like
Yeah.
above his mouth just to feel him
Right.
breathing, or just on his tiny little chest, because I was so scared of every, I was so anxious and so scared because he was just. Obviously, like he was basically my heart now living outside of me, you know, and it was just, you just got to do everything in your willpower to make sure that they're okay. And even when they are resting, it's hard to be like, okay, let me just let them rest because, you know, you've always got these worries going on in your mind 24/7.
I think definitely as a first-time mother, it's just like it's so much on you, and it's you worry so much about this like little human that, you know, it's the first time that you're going through this, that you're growing up child. So like you're figuring it out. You are learning about them as much as they are learning about you. So it's like I think it's a time definitely to like not be so hard on ourselves, because I think that we're all learning together as a unit, because obviously the baby just came into this world as well. So like you were saying, you know, typically after like the 3 month mark, they start sleeping a little more and they're, you know, they are adjusted. But the first couple of months, they're getting adjusted to life, to like real life. So they're getting adjusted to like, you know, mom and dad, or, you know, the family, or, you know, what their feeding is like, where they're sleeping, what they're wearing, like all of these things that they weren't experiencing before. So it's a huge adjustment for them. So it's just like, I think it's just like a thing that we can't be so hard on ourselves, and we need to just kind of like take it day by day. And yeah, that I think that that is probably the most important thing there. But I think like, you know, other tips also, I did also want to mention baby wearing a little bit, because we did have some carriers that we were able to use. I had one that was like a wrappy one, like one that was like a wrap that wrapped around my body and it did all this. But what happened was that in the moment, I put it on. I'm trying to figure out, I'm tying it. The baby Gami was getting all fussy, and I'm like, you know what? Forget it.
I
I'm
was gonna
carrying
say
this
that.
thing.
I
And
had a wrapped one too, and it's a pain in
I
the
couldn't.
ASS. Like it's
Exactly. But look, it looks so cool, and I really wanted to figure it out. Like, I think I've been there like 3 times, and I have like 3 pictures, and it was like this like organic cotton, like super soft. And yes, do I wish maybe I would have practiced before Kami came? Absolutely. Like, honestly, if you can practice before the baby comes, I think that's a great idea. Get a little teddy bear and practice, because
Yeah,
you
definitely.
just like slip them in there and you can get things done, because obviously they love being wrapped around mom. Like, I think that is a great concept.
I have to say, Elisa, I did have one of those, and I did actually practice when I was like in
Did?
my later stages of pregnancy. Like George was
Oh.
looking at me like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Listen, I need to practice because I don't know how to wrap
Help?
this thing around my body." Yes, no one
Okay.
was in there all the time. My
No
parents thought I was crazy. But
way.
I
Okay.
was like, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, and also like you miss them in your belly. And
Yeah.
when they're on you, especially
Yeah.
in those
You
wraps,
get the
it's
benefit
like,
too. You
yeah,
get the
because
benefit.
they're still in your belly. Because
Yes.
literally they're still in your belly. Because it's literally kind of like where,
Yeah.
well, they're a bit higher up, of course, but And the comfort they feel, they're right in there, and I
I've
even put it
lost.
on George a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really
Listen,
nice.
I remember trying to wrap that thing around, and I'm just like, I don't have the patience right now because Gami was starting to get fussy. Like, I was trying to
Yeah.
put it on at a moment when she was falling asleep. I'm like, okay, she's gonna fall asleep. I think I can put her on me because she doesn't want to be put down. So I'm gonna put her on me so she can sleep maybe on me. And it's just,
Yeah.
I remember being in the room with Demo. Demo was working from home, and I was trying to have him wrap it around me. I'm like, I can't figure this out. So I let it go. But
They are difficult, though. I'm not,
yes,
yeah,
but
they
it
are.
was such a cute one too. So yes, if I were to have a second, or for any new parents out there, I think practice before the baby
Yeah.
comes, because I think I practiced everything else except that, to be honest. I think
Yeah.
like I turned on my pump once. I remember we did put the car seat in, and we like tested out the car seat, and we like we kind of practiced with like other things, but that I didn't think about. And I think that's a really good point. I think it's important to practice than that one.
Yeah, it's a
And then
great tool to have.
yeah, it's a really good one. And that's good for when they're tiny as well, because we had one that was a little bit of like one for when they were a little bit bigger, when Kami was like a couple of months, like beyond the 3 month mark, I think, or 2, 3 month mark, where it was more of like a little book bag kind of thing. So that one
Yeah.
was more for Demo. Like, we got it and it was
Yeah.
him, and he loved it. He would walk, we would go for walks, and he would put Kami in there. And then eventually, when she got older, he was able to like turn it around and put her in the back. So that was
That's
also like,
cool.
yeah, that was a really, really good one. Yeah, I absolutely adored that one. So I think those are good just because there's times where, babies don't want to be put down in a stroller. And also having to take out a stroller as well, like all of that, like having to like just to go for a walk, if you can just like simply like strap them around you, that
Yeah.
will save you a lot of time, as long as they're not, once they start getting heavier than that, then you kind of gotta
You
like,
know what? I was about to say that because
yeah.
recently I brought a toddler carrier. Now
Oh, I've
these
seen
things
those.
are all over the internet, right?
Yeah.
And obviously
Is
my
it like you put
baby,
is it like you put him on the hip? Is that it?
it's kind of like that. There's
Okay.
some that are like slings, some that are kind of like there's just kind of like a you strap it around your waist and there's kind of like a support for their bum, I guess. And obviously, it's been a hard. It's been hard for me to realize that my Noah is coming out of, he's going like he's really a toddler now. And but he's obviously with toddlerhood, sometimes they really do want to just be held all the time. They go through that stage. And I was seeing these things online and I was thinking, do you know what? Let's try one. So I did my research like I do with everything, and I ordered one. And I got it and I was so excited because I was like, you know what? We can just go to town walks. I literally live in town. So I was like, we can just literally like pop him in. We can go to town, like have the fresh air and come back. Girl, let me tell you, if you try and put a nearly 2-year-old in these toddler carriers, your back is killing you.
Because how much does he weigh now? I mean,
I don't even know, but listen, right? Th that's not a good option.
yeah, it's
I'm
not,
telling.
but.
I don't know, like people out there that are using these like toddler carriers, like I take my hat off to you because I tried it for like 2 days and I was like, nope, that's getting sent back because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And they have these cute like attachment bags, like, oh, you can fit a snack and so. And I was like, listen, how can I even access that bag if I've got this heavy toddler on me? It was just, it, to me, it wasn't. How it was, but I thought I was hoping it was going to be better. But
It was.
hopefully, it's better to some other mums out there. But for
It
me, the
works.
toddler carrier was a no-no,
That was a
unfortunately.
no-no. Yeah, I mean, I've seen them before, and we had like the carrier, like the more like book bag style one. And once got
Yeah.
getting heavy, I remember I went out on a walk with her, and I'm like, okay, this is it. Like, this is it. I cannot do this anymore, because I was breaking a sweat carrying her around.
Yeah.
And she
Yeah.
loved it because I had her like front facing. So that was like, she was still like under a year old and stuff. And she wasn't walking yet. So she loved it, like being out in nature and being able to see out. Because, when they're in the stroller, they're laying down. So
Yeah, exactly.
she loved it, but I was like, okay, no, she's getting too heavy. We got to figure something else out. Like, it's time to bring out the stroller. moving right along. So
They grow quick.
they do, especially in that first year. They grow super quick.
Yeah. The last thing maybe we can just like cover just before we kind of wrap up today is we spoke a little bit about like self-care a little bit earlier, but like what would be like in those newborn trenches, like the first 3 months for you, Elisa, what was your favorite self-care? Like what would be the things that you would do, even if it was like a quick 2 minutes here or a quick 5 minutes here? Like what would be the self-care that you did that really made you feel good about yourself?
Yeah, I gosh, I need to take my own advice, Monica, because I've like now looking back at it, I think that taking care of yourself is extremely important. It's extremely important. And also like we're not talking about taking care of ourselves as like a caregiver, because we're caregivers. We're talking about like taking care of our real selves, like me, taking you, Monica, taking care of you. And like, so, that is gonna look different for everyone. It could just be like simply turning on a candle, reading a book. It could be something like that. So I think that that's what, like, when we say like self-care, we're not talking about like taking care of yourself as like a mother. We're talking about stepping away from the role that you have as a mother and really taking care of yourself. So I think that for me, the shower, like for you, taking a hot shower, washing my hair, getting like,
Oh, washing your
um,
hair, having the time to wash
conditioning.
your hair.
Yeah, oh, that I never wanted to do it. I had my hair was just like dirty around the clock. Like I think whenever I did that moment of like taking a long shower and doing an everything shower, they call it. So doing like, doing a deep condition, like a deep treatment, exfoliating, and like doing that, I think that that was my moment of self-care, like for, those first like couple of months. That's the most that I had that I could do. But I think that longer term, after like let's say like the 3 month period, you can I think that there's ways of managing your time where you can do more, but it's so hard to have more time. You obviously that first month, that those first couple of months, you don't have time. So like it's not really realistic for us to say like, oh, you're gonna go spend a day at the spa or like do something like that when you have like a newborn at home that you're so worried about. So, I think that taking those like small moments to really take care of like you and what is going to make you feel good is so important. What was that self-care moment like for you, Monica?
I think, and I really like what you just said, Lisa, about like not the self-care as a mother, because we've spoken about that. We've spoken about like postpartum, how you heal physically. Kind of like the gizmos, the gadgets you can use to help and all of that stuff. But I think as a mother, obviously you change, right? But you still have the essence of who you are. That will never go. And yeah, and I feel like self-care for me, definitely taking a bath. That was like huge for me. But another thing for me is anyone that knows me knows that I love skincare. Like, skincare is like a passion of mine. I've done so much research over the years. I use retinol on my skin, but I know obviously when you're pregnant and postpartum breastfeeding, you're not allowed any of that stuff. So even when I was pregnant, or like even when I found out I was pregnant, I did all my research to do like natural alternatives for that. And my piece of skincare would be self-care would be to have all of those products, and after having like a nice shower or bath, would really be to do my skincare, like double cleanse, use my serums, use my creams, like do a face mask. Like that makes me feel like that makes me come back to who I
Like
am.
yourself, right?
And that's something, skincare is something that has followed me my whole life. And that's how I know that's something that makes me happy, like Monica, like my soul, you know? So I would say for me, definitely doing my routines or trying to find time to do my routines, and just having a cup of tea for me. Like a cup of tea can solve everything for me.
Yep, exactly.
Definitely. I would say, obviously reading and stuff, but who's got the time to read? I mean, seriously, if you've got a newborn, you've got no time to read.
I mean, I just got around to it now, and Gami's 3 years old. So, like, I think that taking care of yourself is really important, but it's also something that's really hard to do as a mother when you have just birthed a child because you're just thinking about the baby around the clock. We very quickly forget who we were before we had a child. So I think that, like you said, Monica, thinking about who you were before you had a child and what brought you joy, even like the smallest things, tap back into that. I think tap into that.
Even now, like if I have the time, if I say to myself, I'm gonna wake up extra early and I'm gonna wash my hair. Like everyone knows, for like long hair, curly hair girls, like we need time to do that. Like it's not a 5 minute job, and to take the time to do that, or just to take care of your skin, or do the everything shower, like you need to almost plan in time to do that, because you need to feel like yourself. Obviously, you are this amazing new role. You are now a mother, which is the greatest gift that you could be blessed with, but you are also still you.
And it is important to tap into that once in a while, and because that is what's going to bring you joy. Like, obviously, you are still you. So remember who you were before you were a mother, because you existed before you were a mother for however many years. There were things that you enjoyed doing. So try to tap back into that and find little moments to do those things again. And
Definitely.
that will definitely help you heal as well. So I think that this was like such a like informative episode, and I think that there's definitely going to be a lot of good takeaways for any mothers listening, and any soon to be mamas out there that are like wrapping their head around motherhood and all the things. But a couple of takeaways: I do think that it is going to get easier for this beginning newborn trenches. Just know that it will get easier. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, but just make sure that you take time for yourself within those really hard days, because that is what's going to break it up for you. That's, you're going to be able to like kind of like hit the refresh button when you do. So make sure that you take that time for yourself.
And just keep going. Take it a day at a time, an hour at a time, and just know that things will get easier. But at the same time, soak up these memories with your newborn because they go so quick.
Exactly. And like we've said before, like don't be so hard on yourself, because it's, I think everyone is just trying to figure out their new roles. The baby's trying to figure out his new role, and we're trying to figure out our role as parents and what to do on a day to day. So, be easy on yourself, and it will get better. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining once again. And per usual, thank you for subscribing for our listeners. Thank you for everyone that has subscribed, and anyone that hasn't already, make sure that you do so that you get notified every time that we drop a new episode, which is every 2 weeks. I'm really proud of us because we have now gone past the episode 10 mark. So we have more than 10 episodes at this point. And so yeah, I'm really, I have to say, really proud of us, and I am so thankful for our audience, right?
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your feedback. Please, like, if you do want to leave comments, if you do want to leave anything, like, we're more than happy to receive that feedback. That's what helps us grow, and so it helps us shape our podcast to evolve even further. So just thank you for coming on this journey with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for us. And speaking of like self-care, this is like our form of self-care as well, where we get to like feed our energy into our audience. So thank you guys. Thank you so much for listening to us. So yeah, thank you so much for joining, everyone.
And we'll see you next time.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.